Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this evening hour in which we can come together in the name of our Lord Jesus. What a Savior we have. So great a salvation He has given us. Thank you, Father, that Thou would be willing to give Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege of knowing Him and proclaiming Him, the Lord of all, and that He may also be the Lord of our lives. And that will be to the glory of God, and that we so may live, that others may see and enjoy looking what a Savior can do in a life, can give that new life, can give that life that is worth living. And so this evening, our Lord, we pray that Thou wilt undertake, as we open the Scriptures, that we may see what Thou hast to say unto us, because Thou hast a message for each one of us personally. Though we could read the same scripture, we know that Thou art able to apply it to each one of our hearts as to our needs. And we thank Thee for that, that we do not have to apply it ourselves, but that Thou art the one that will apply it to our lives. And that we may just accept, Lord, what the scriptures say and what the scriptures tell us, and that we so may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now, Lord, that Thou wilt so open this evening hour Thyself, and we know, Lord, that Thou want to be in our midst and teach us Thyself to see, Lord, what that new life in Christ really means, what it has for us. And we thank Thee for what Thou will do in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time we looked at 1 John, and we're going to go back there at this time, and I'm still going to read that once more. And we even discussed a little bit last evening that about the repetition, the teaching of the Word. And if we really want to know what God says, there's a repetition there. Now, I'm sure that you've read your Bible more than once, and if you read it once, you didn't know it all after one trip. 1 John, and we're reading the first chapter. It's very important, a reading of the Word of God. If you had somebody like Mr. Breeden for your teacher in Bible school, then he would come like this at the same time, and he said, the reading of the Word of God. And give attendance to that, he says. That which was from the beginning, so remember the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. You've read John, the Gospel of John, and you see a lot of what the Lord Jesus taught in those days. And bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I'll read thus far. And the first thing that we learn here is fellowship. And this evening we're going to talk a little bit about fellowship for a little while. And what is fellowship? Well, actually, I was thinking of fellowship. There's two fellows. I don't know if you've ever been in a ship, in a boat, and you row or paddle. And if you're in there with the two of you, then it's very important that you paddle the same way, the same direction. Can you imagine one fellow sitting here and the other sitting on the other side, each paddling his own way? Now, you wouldn't be going very far. Or you could be going in circles, like most of people go. They go in circles most of the time. So you see that it's very important, and we have a perfect example of that, because we have the Father and the Son. And those two, in the Spirit, they go in the same direction. So always fellowship is one ship, two fellows go in the same direction. But the Father and the Son, they have no opposition to one another. They have planned everything together. They have given everything together to be together in that same direction. And of course, there could not be any other direction than what they have given. If there was any other direction, well, we wouldn't be here to begin with, and certainly we wouldn't have to be looking forward to eternal life, to live with the Lord Jesus. So, fellowship in itself. Now, God has created us in His image. It's quite a thing, really, to think that God has created us in His image. And right now, I have a book there. I haven't read it all. I just read some in it. But I like the name of the author. Says it's called "Designed to Be Like Him," and that means just simply that God has designed us to be like Him. And of course, you know the story from the garden, and that people went their own way and did their own thing, and so on. And since that, people haven't gone the same way as the Lord would want them to go. They have gone their own way. You have that in Isaiah, makes it very clear. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so that the fellowship was broken in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned against God. So now God tells us at the same time here that we're to come back to that fellowship, and that He has made the way open, because the Lord Jesus is the way, and He's the truth, and He's the life, so that fellowship with the Lord is possible. And if that fellowship with the Lord is possible, I want that fellowship. I don't know how you look at it, but now again, just for a moment, that fellowship, there's in Dutch, it is gemeenschap. Now you get a Dutch word, eh? Gemeenschap. And having things gemeen, or having things in common. Now, if you don't have things in common, well, there's no fellowship. And so fellowship means we have things in common. Now, do I have things in common with the Lord Jesus? Do I have things in common with the Heavenly Father? Do I have things in common as the Word of God tells me? Have I things in common to live with Him the life that pleases Him? You know, so it is having in common. And then, of course, the thing is, first of all, that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus, with the Father. And then in that, we have fellowship with one another. There again, and we can learn really a lot about this. I'd like you to take one scripture here, and that says, just so that we get on the right road. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And then we can see directly what God's goal is. God has a goal for you and me. And I think it's a tremendous goal. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, and the 9th verse. It's always difficult when you have a new Bible. They seem like they have it standing in another place. But the 9th verse, God is faithful. So to begin with, we are not counting on our faithfulness, because that won't be carrying us very far. But on God's faithfulness, by whom ye, I think that's right personal, ye. Just like He's here and He points the finger at us and says, Ye. Okay. By whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So God calls us into that fellowship. He says, now come. Now, I don't know how many times the word come is throughout the scriptures. Every time we are encouraged to come, come to the waters of life. You know, when you read there in Isaiah, tremendous. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's another point. If we have rest, we can have fellowship. We can't have fellowship in unrest. You know, there's only fellowship in rest. And that is, rest doesn't mean doing nothing. I think sometimes people have that confusion, that rest means doing nothing, laying on your bed and legs up in the air or something like that, you know. But that's not the idea. The idea is that I have a rest in my soul, and I can rest in God who has done a finished work. I can rest in a finished work because the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work. And so again, here, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, into his fellowship. Now the only thing is, when you're going to read the rest of this chapter, you're going to say, well, now I'm not sure whether I fit right in here. You read the rest of this chapter, I'll tell you, some of it is some stuff that you're going to read here. And that's, you know, not everybody, when sometimes, because I read this in places, and not everybody is always happy with what you read then. And it's not until you accept what God says over you, about you. Huh? So let's just go drop down a little bit, and I'll read verse 17, and you know why I'm here and preaching the gospel. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, we can have all kinds of nice words and nice explanations, and I don't know what all, but if it goes around the cross and it doesn't come to the cross, well, then you might as well forget it, because it's not going to be anything. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So he directs us to the cross. And if the preaching is not the cross, then we have an empty message. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Tremendous. Because so in the fellowship, in that common, that oneness, we have the power of God. So here then he goes on to tell us a little bit, and I think we best read that. We'll read it slowly. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Here comes a wise man, a real wise, maybe a wise woman, you know. We'll have them too, wouldn't we? And they come. And God is going to destroy that wisdom. He says, I have nothing to do with that. And that's strange, wouldn't you say? And I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now God gives us this all in relation to having fellowship, having a new life in Christ. Our fellowship begins with the new life in the Lord Jesus and seeing him on the cross and having a complete redemption, a complete. It's not a half redemption, not a half salvation. I believe there's a lot of people that believe in a half salvation, you know, because there is not such a thing. But at the same time, it seems to me that people, you know, the way they talk, they're talking about a half salvation. Well, either we are saved through the blood of the cross or not. So, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that's really all against man, you see. There's nothing of man in there, and there's nothing that man can grab and say, oh yeah, that's the way to do it. No, it's just like somebody comes and they're standing on ice, and you know, there comes something and they sweep them all off their feet. And that this is what happens here. And I think that that's the greatest thing there is, you know, sweep everything off the feet. It's only the Lord Jesus. Now, and now he has called us into his fellowship. He's done everything. He's finished everything. And now he calls you and me into his fellowship, the oneness with him. He's finished, and now we can rest in a finished work. Tremendous what God has done. Well, we read a little further because, you know, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But to them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren and sisters, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Did you ever have the idea that, you know, that's it there? Look at how smart they are. Look, they must know it all. Yeah, there's a guy. I hear sometimes one of the guys in this talk about, I've read on the internet of, I've listened to so-and-so. Yeah, and what did that do you? Why? Because it didn't bring them into fellowship. And the idea is it should bring you into fellowship. Now, this here, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see your calling, brethren, sisters, how that not many wise men or women after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the very opposite of what we would do. And at the same time, we may be Christians, we may have been saved for a while, we still have the tendency to look for some wise ones, you know, for some ones that really are doing it good. You say, now that's, you know, and then you look up and show, and don't look too long, because in the shortest time, you're so discouraged at such a person. But there's one person I know, you never will be discouraging, and that's the Lord Jesus. And now he's called us into his fellowship. What a privilege that is. When you think of that, how great that is, that he personally called us into his fellowship. And the Father says, this is my Son. I want you to have fellowship with him. And then we come to that place of a common bond. Now, we'll still read further. Every once in a while, I give a Dutch word so you learn a little bit of Dutch, you know, by the time we leave. And anyway, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, if I had to start here this evening, I didn't do that. And I don't think I would do that. Maybe at a certain time I might. But I would have started out and said, so, you foolish people, what would you say? Who does he think he is? You know? You want me to try it sometime? But anyway, God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, you can't do that too much, can you? I do have to read a verse in the second chapter, and it is verse 9. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. And so we may know, and is it my desire to really walk in fellowship with the Lord. Now, if I'm right, the last time we have read First John, the first chapter, and then the two verses of the second chapter, and then we read also Psalm 23. And then you get again that the shepherd and the sheep. And you get these dumb, 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 dumb sheep. And, oh, it's nice to have the shepherd. But you know, there's some painful things too that I find there. The painful things. We're going to look at them too. They're a little painful. Have you ever got great pains? Well, there's some of them here. Okay, we'll go in the scripture to Philippians. I'll go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And there, Paul is one, he starts with in chapter 1, verse 6, really with an encouragement. And he says there in verse 6 of the first chapter that being.
I'm not going to pour up, but it's not where I thought it was. Yeah, I thought Steve Murphy can be bad too. Yeah, no, he's the one that taught us all this, you know, he's been a teacher for quite a few years. I'm not going to say a word at this moment
but I think I stated in the beginning there is none good, no, not one, so we fit all in that perfectly. Even my very dearest son-in-law, you know.
I was going to say wife.
I thought you were going to say that too. Well,
see, well, you. Verse 6 of chapter 1, I'll read that first. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, or will finish it, until the day of Jesus Christ. The absolute security, you know, it's tremendous that we have such security, and that in that security, it is not one of the things the Lord Jesus gives out in Matthew chapter 6, especially, that not to worry, not to worry. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. If we sin, there's only one thing we can do with it, and it's confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the only thing is, we have a problem but pointing down to what sin is. You know, we think when, oh, well, I really should trust the Lord in this, but I really don't. Well, that's sin. You know, it's just as simple as that. You can call it whatever you want, and if you do it or I do it, don't make any difference. When I don't trust the Lord, it's sin. But we don't look at it like that. You know, I'm not, we make excuses then. You want me to give some excuses? Are you good at making excuses? Do you ever make excuses? And
oh, he saw me, you weren't supposed to look out.
What's one of the excuses? Well, I tried the best. Well, that's not good enough, because the Lord Jesus already has finished the work. So I don't have to try anything, you know. I just have to, here we come at a real difficult thing. We have to give it over. There's a song that we sometimes sing, I believe we sometimes sing. If we don't, we'll sing it Sunday. I can ask humbly. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. And then ever learn to trust him. In his presence, daily live. And you know, if you gave that Sunday and you say, this is what we're going to sing, and everybody sat there singing their souls, oh, you know. But when you started preaching, say, and you, this is the idea, they all sit with their head down. It's funny, you know. We sing with the head up, but then they listen with the head down. You know what I mean? You know, that is what we are. You know, I hope you don't have no trouble. I think most of we do anyway as men, don't we, Murphy? We look in the mirror and see. So, yeah, I'm. You know, I I'm getting a little old and I get those little pimples and it's really hard to shave around them without cutting them off. Actually, I'm quite jealous of Murphy that he's got a beard and he doesn't have those problems. But there's nothing, it's too late for me now to begin. And even when I started, I had the mustache once and it had different colors and my wife, you know, it was her or the mustache. Now, you know what I mean. So... I can't have one, but you know, so I look in the mirror and then if you just had a shower when the mirror is all steamed up, you know, so you can't find everything and that, I have to put my glasses on, like that's on top of it too, and I didn't have them when I was born, and so, and you really try, you know, the rest of the hair, I don't like it when so half shaven, I think that's terrible, but I'm fussy in some ways, you know, probably don't look that way, but anyway, so you know what I mean? So there you are, you look in the mirror. And what do you see? Well, we're quite proud of what we see, of course. Well, and... okay. And then when you see something that doesn't quite suit you, then you're going to make it better looking. You know, you want to be better looking. So make it a little bit here, a little bit here. My wife doesn't like it when I have a hair on my nose. And she can really pull that out. And so it's really a little fanatic. But anyway, so it doesn't bother me any, you know. Suppose I grow a whole bunch there. But you know, this is what we do. We look in the mirror. But we only see what we can fix up and want to see, what we can fix up ourselves. And we realize, or don't realize, that actually we can't fix up anything. I'll give you an example. I wasn't born with those. You weren't either, I expect. It would be. It would be a very painful birth if you were born with your glasses on. So...
I thought you said I wasn't born with toes, and I was trying to figure out what you meant.
Oh,
good, next, we're good
next,
now. That's good.
Okay, next time just ask. Yeah, just ask. That would be a real confrontation. Yeah, I still got all my 10 toes. So we have to continue here. So you see this that mirror. Now the Bible is like the mirror. In its second chapter, that's where we were going to go in the first place, but I thought I'd pull this with you. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship, here comes, fellowship, now we're going a step further, as it were, of the Spirit. Now we get the Spirit. And there's one thing I begin to tell you about the person. I don't like just to talk about the Spirit. I want to talk about the person of the Spirit. There's too many people who got too foggy of an idea as to what that means. So here is the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit is the most tender person of the triune God. Let that be very clear. He's very tender. And so... in that respect, I'm very respectful. I'm respectful to the Father and the Son. But you have read in the Scripture that when you sinned against the Son, you're forgiven. And you can't do that against the Holy Spirit. So you have to be very careful towards Him. Not in the sense that you can't have fellowship with Him, because there is the fellowship of the Spirit. And I believe that's a very fine, a very delicate, a very warm, a very intimate fellowship. Now, here we go. If any bowels of mercies fulfill ye my joy, that ye be, now we get a word here, I'm sure that you all love, like-minded, like-minded. Who is like-minded? Are we like-minded? Well, to a certain extent, yes. But then, to another certain extent, no. No. We all have our own minds. It should be done like this. It should be done like that. And it should be done such and so. And there's nothing that people differ more than on the Word of God. I could not tell you, and I couldn't begin. I had a book one time that told me about 1,000 different church groups.
Denominations.
Yeah, even the denominations are divided in that one, you know. So, and that wasn't all of them that I looked at. So there are so many which all shows you, okay, yeah, well, we agree here, but, and then you get, you know where the but comes from. I always think on, when I think of but, I think of the billy goat. Mm. And there was down in the Netherlands, there was there a man, and he had a billy goat, and his mother was to get to be of age, and you know, when you turn around, you always want to watch out when he backs up, because then he takes a run on, and then he really comes, and he came and ran into his mother, and you know the rest. But a but, there's always comes this but, you know, and in our fellowship we so often have a but. Now that teaches me something else, so we're going to go there, and. Here he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Like-minded, that's no small thing. How can we be like-minded? That can only be done in that boat. Having fellowship, going the same direction, having the same love, having the same idea, having the... Hey, it's the same Lord Jesus. It's the same Lord Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit, and it's the same Father. And how can there be a division? Now, you know that in that 1 Corinthians, where we read that in the first part of that first chapter, there was Paul talking about that, and he said, I'm not here to discuss this, discuss that, I'm just here to preach the gospel. And, you know, I can't say that I've learned, I really haven't learned anything, but as we are in the Netherlands, you know, one of the things they asked, even when I was here, somebody asked me that, from the same kind of background, and they asked, so, what church are you affiliated with? What church? None? None? I'm affiliated with none church. I've never been affiliated with any particular group of churches or whatever, but I am affiliated with the Lord Jesus. And, you know, and as soon, the part of this too, I've preached in, I don't know how many varieties of churches. And at the same time, if I say I belong to this, then the rest is closed out. The rest don't want me. And now I can preach. Wherever they ask me, I can preach, you know. So it's strange, isn't it, how we are in relation to the things of the Lord. And now the Lord says here, be of one mind. Be of one mind. Now, this fulfill ye my joy. Now, isn't it tremendous that the Lord wants us to fulfill his joy, not our joy? You must have noticed in life that if you want to be happy, the greatest happiness is that if you can fulfill someone else's joy. But most of us, I'm talking about myself, fulfill my own joy. You know, the things that I think are nice, the things that I want. And so, you know, you see, I'm very important, eh? I'm not sure what came out.
Did anybody start her? No.
Oh, that's the guy thing.
Well, selfish thing.
I agree with, I'll tell you one thing. We're drastically outnumbered here, brother. So we're going to be very careful.
Well, I'm kind of mean and more.
No, you meant it all right. I took it in. Don't try to get out of it, because we don't take that.
No, but women with
children. No. Well, you wait now. I'll explain it to you. And then you'll know it. But men in general, And I'm always glad when I find a man that's other than I am, that's not like-minded in that sense, but a man, I am very selfish. So simple. I am very selfish. I'm much more selfish than my wife is. Just as simple as that. Now, I can tell all kinds of stories, and I can come around it, and I can be real nice and look humbly, and I don't know what all, but all nonsense, I am very selfish. And I wish I have done this in youth meetings. I have told young ladies, there comes a young man, and he says he loves you. So you watch him. Because if he asks something from you that he shouldn't have, he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And I know young ladies that have taken that to heart, and that a fella came and says, oh, I love you. Yeah, that's nice. And they start going, and then he wanted something he shouldn't have. She says, okay, you really don't love me. Goodbye. Ladies passed away, too. That was the daughter of Clayton Wickley. See, that's man. That's man. And I can speak in general for man. I'm just saying in general. I'm not saying that every man is like me. No, thank God they're not. I think there's man that... But one man is maybe more controlled than the other, whatever. But that is man. Now, if Adam had been a man, he would have said to his wife, listen, don't talk with him. And then we would still be in the garden, wouldn't we? But Adam wasn't a man, you know. And the biggest problem is we come from that man. And we can tell. Sometimes I come somewhere where I haven't been before, and I said, hi, I know you all. I know what you've been doing. And you all look stern, you know. Yeah, well, you all come from Adam. You're the same as I am. You know? So no problem. It's very easily, you know. You can, wherever you go. And sometimes people get angry, although I'd never been in their place or in their church before, and I preach, and say, who told you about me? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, but you see, it's just as simple as this. We're come all from Adam. And now God has given us his word that we may not go further like Adam did, but that we may be saved and may walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Now that's what he gives us here. And it's not an easy thing. I realize that as a man. Oh, for a woman maybe a lot easier, but I haven't seen that yet either. But anyway, let's look at this second verse. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now I'll tell you, if that's got to be done, then there's one word I find really difficult. It's in the Bible, and I think you know the word. Here it even stands above the page. Only it says about Christ. Now I'm supposed to learn that word. You ever heard this word? I'll read it to you. It says here, Christ's humility. It's spelled humility. What a word, eh? What a word. I know the word, and humble. But I don't really know it. In a way, I would like to know it, but... You know, when I wasn't saved too long, I thought, Lord, I want to be humble. Lord says, I will see what we can do with you. And then he showed that I wasn't humble at all. That was number one. And then he started me some ways as to what it meant. I'll tell you one thing that happened early in my Christian life. We were just out of Bible school, not even a year, and I got way down the basement of this building, and I was there on my knees, and they didn't even know where I was. And I was there on my knees, and I said, oh God, I said, do with me whatever you want, and give me any problems. And I was asking God to make me humble. Well, I hadn't gotten up off my knees, and I had all the difficulties I could muster. And I said, I guess I won't do that again. So I haven't done it again, you know. If I've got to be tried and tested and stuff like that, you know, I thought, well, this is it. You know, God, you go to it. But I found that was just a little bit more than I could handle. So I said, Lord, you do it at your speed, not at mine. And I still think that's the best way. But at the same time, it takes a long time. It takes such a long time. I should have been humble by now, shouldn't I, after 47 years? And I'm less than what I was 47 years ago, I'm sure, you know. But the only thing is you say, well, now you admit it. That's about the only thing, too. And so, of one accord, listen, we have been married 58 years. And my wife always agrees with me. That is, I always agree with her. Now, it seems to me, Mabel, that they don't believe either one of those statements. She doesn't either. You see, you have some hope somewhere that that would be, but it doesn't appear to come too quickly, and it doesn't appear to come very easily either, because what is God doing? Now, the Lord Jesus tells us, and you know that, he tells us, go sell all you have. Well, I can go along with that one. Stuff that you have fades away anyway, just goes. And then take up your cross and follow me. My cross. Take up my cross. What's my cross? What's my cross? Well, I think if that cross has to do with humility. We'll read a little bit further on and it shows a little bit more. So being of one mind, we haven't succeeded there yet. Are you all of one mind? You come together. Let's just take two. You're all of one mind? Yeah. Most of the time, or some of the time.
Well, I
Oh, you meant Audrey. I know.
No, but as in Christ we are, more or less. Maybe. Like not in just him.
Maybe less than more.
I'm not answering that. It's one of those trick questions I'm not answering.
You're not...
Like, we're not in one accord for who Christ is, more like in our belief in Christ.
We'll read. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But here we got that word, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, that's not too difficult, is it? Depends on who it is. See, we got the answer there, didn't we? She didn't fall in the trap. Now, I think that was the trap. Look not every man, woman, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We have so much complain about the others, we have so much to say about the other, that, you know, to be of one mind of the other, I don't know how we'd ever reach that. We all look different at things, and we think it should be done this way, and in the church, if it's the Sunday school, I think back of one preacher I really think a lot of. That doesn't mean you agree with everything, but I thought a lot of him. It was A.W. Criswell. He's a preacher, Baptist preacher, down south in the ice, along with the Lord. But he must have been a good preacher, because he was always preaching. And then one New Year's Eve, the elders came to him and said, Pastor, you always wanted more time for preaching. He said, now it's New Year's Eve on Sunday. He said, why don't you start preaching at your normal time? and you preach until after midnight. Now, I'm not sure what time he started preaching, but he started preaching, I believe, somewhere around 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock. And he said the church was packed out, people were standing. He thought, well, you know, they're not going to be standing there very long. He said at 10 o'clock they were still standing there, and at 11 o'clock they were still standing there, and at 12 o'clock they were still standing there. He must have been quite a preacher, or, you know, however you want to look at it, he was a godly man. And I've read, matter of fact, I got 3 books on him that my wife gave me for Christmas one time on the book of Acts. Tremendous. Anyway, so here's a preacher, and he said that, you know, to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him, to look not every man on his own things. And if I read the things that he encountered in churches, I should tell you this little story. He said when he was a young preacher, he went to this church and they had a problem. They had a division, like many churches have. Just when they're growing tremendously, then all of a sudden, kaboom, something happens, especially in building projects and so on. Now, anyway, he said, was a difference. So he visited one of the elderly men that was involved in the split. And he said to him, now, what was the split about? It was about the organ. About the organ? About the organ. The organ, and not just about the organ itself in that sense, but the organ was standing on the wrong side of the church. So he said, so on which side of the church should it be standing? And the old man had his cane stamping, and he was living together with his sister, and he said, Willie, on which side should it stand? And that's what they split the church over. And we can laugh at those things, but you wouldn't want to give them to eat, the ones that have split over things like that. Now, I'm only using that as an example of how we are not of one mind, how humility is a far thing away, and how difficult it is to have real fellowship. And therefore, it is important that I have fellowship with the Lord, that my wife has fellowship with the Lord, and only then can we have fellowship together. It is important that I have fellowship with the Lord, and that Murphy has fellowship with the Lord, and only in that can we have fellowship together. And every time again. And that takes of one mind, means I have to be difficult word, humble, because do we agree on everything? That is not likely the case, because we are people. We are not definitely not on everything going to agree. But is that important? Is it important that somebody else agrees with me? I don't think that's important. I think it's important, but it isn't important. You get that? The two-way, eh? It is not important, but I think it's important. And now my thinking got to be changed, and that takes humility, because I'm right. Aren't you? And so now we got to give up that thinking to be right. Thinking to be right. And if I can leave behind the thinking to be right, you know, I've gotten this old. I'm 81 now. And I've gotten this old, and I work with some folks in the Netherlands. They'll be listening to this too, so I better give an answer, you know. But, and hey, they have things to say too. But then they come listen to me. Well, they may think that I am right. Well, that would be worse. Because then they would be having fellowship on what I think. And that's not the idea. They shouldn't have fellowship. We shouldn't have fellowship together on what I think. but we should have fellowship on the things that we know the Lord thinks. Mm-hmm. See? Everything the Lord has. And in that, we can have fellowship. And there you got the two fellows going the same direction. But see, if I'm going the same direction with the Lord, and another brother and sister go in the same direction with the Lord, then we can have fellowship. But if we don't have, we can have fellowship on the basis of the fact that we say, this is the word of God and it's true. That's what we base our fellowship on. And then we can go on and see, okay, what does God say? Without trying to have our own interpretation on that, because that's what we really like, you know, give our own interpretation. And so we'll read a little further here. And it gives us the whole thing, because here is where the Lord Jesus is seen on the cross. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, we're all that vain especially, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Other? Better? Now, who's going to have fellowship? You go to somebody, you have fellowship. The other's much better than I am. I think this is about the way we say, the other's much better than I am. You know, you can say that just as proud as you want to be too, eh? You don't even have to say that in a humble spirit. You can say that. I can say it with words. But to see that in my heart, that the other is better than me. I mean, I've had teachers, godly teachers. Did I always think that they were better than I was? I don't think so. I think there must have been times I thought, they think that they got it all. Do you ever think that way? Likely. You agree with me before, okay. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Suppose you read that every morning for a few months. Just those few lines here. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Not to be jealous of. Because, see, even that you can see. You can give another notation to that, eh? Let this mind be in you. Now we're getting something, eh? Which was also in Christ Jesus. Same mind as Christ. Who has that? Well, we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. We have the mind of Christ. So, I surrender all to the mind of Christ. Is that right? Would that be right? Would that be the way to do? Would the thing to do? Surrender all to the mind of Christ. Look, wouldn't it be that the most restful, most peaceful, most enjoyable life that there is? Wouldn't you think, if you think of that, what I said in the beginning, God is designed to be like Him, made in the image of God. And it's God's purpose that we live in the image of Him. Isn't that what God's purpose is for us? Yes, it is. Now, is that not the most wonderful thing to have? And is that the thing we most desire? Or we still desire to be a little bit like me? Each one is on me, of course. And God has something for us that is far better. You know, sometimes I wish that I had known 40 years ago what I know now. But if it doesn't live within, it doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter what I know. I can know the whole Bible in my head, but that doesn't help me any to live it. See? Now, here, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. It's just unimaginable that the Lord Jesus, being with the Father there in heaven, that the Father said, "Son, have you ever looked at Proverbs? It says in Proverbs, so in chapter 8, says that so nicely, that the Lord Jesus was with the Father, and he was all the pleasures of the Father, playing before him. Man, I'll tell you. And then, while the Lord Jesus was there, the Father says, "Now, Son, I want to have more children like you. But it's going to cost you to become like them." Because they knew that in creation, this man would sin. There's nothing that God didn't know. So God would know. And yet, God started with man. And yet, God gave his Son. That he did that all. And yet the Son came and became a man. And that he went to the cross. And that he paid it all. It's unimaginable. I think it's terrific. And otherwise, if God, the Son, the Father, and the Son hadn't come to this conclusion, we would not even be here. Or he could have left us when Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden. He could have said, "Okay, look at it." Or he could have, when Noah and built the ark, he would not have to bother with the ark, or he could have left him in the ark, or he could have done all kinds of things. But to give his Son on Mount Calvary there to die for my sin, but not only to die for my sin, but to make us live with him. To make us, I don't know how I dare say it, but to make us like the Lord Jesus. That is so deep, so high, so great. And that is his whole purpose. That is what he's doing. And that's what he wants to do. And every time man tries to pull away from that. Why does man want to pull away from that? Because he's proud. Ignorance and pride. That's the problem. We'll read a little further here yet. So he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Here we have it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The death of the cross. And then he says to us, "Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me." And of course, our cross is not like his cross. There's a great difference. Our cross is just simply to become like him, to surrender to him, to give everything over to him, to let him have his way with you. Can God, in his loving kindness and faithfulness, have his way with you, with me? Would that be the best? Would that be the best? Wouldn't that be glorious to so live with the Lord Jesus day by day and with each passing moment? Strength I find to meet my trials here. You know, that would be great, wouldn't it? Huh? Now that's the life God has purposed for us. That is the life that God would want us to live. And we're still going to read a little bit further because we're not quite finished yet. We're not finished by a long shot, let's put it that way. But anyway, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know, when I'm praying for people, I usually pray for them by name, and then I pray, "Father, that thou wilt cause them to bow the knee at the cross. Kneel at the cross, and Christ will meet you there." A while ago, I was talking to one of her boys. I said, "There's only one answer." I said, "Kneel at the cross, and Christ will meet you there. There's no other place. There's no other place. Kneel at the cross, and Christ will meet you there. And there that they may call on him." And know that only He can give full deliverance, set you free, and that is in total dependence upon Him. How great is it when you can throw everything, all your care. He says that in, I told him that the other day in Bethany. He said, listen, in the Dutch language we have, in Matthew chapter 6, waste niet bezorgd. You know what that means? No. Do not be worried. And it says that, now you can look for yourself how many times it says that in Matthew chapter 6. Do need not be worried. Worried is a sin. And it gives you the examples of the little birds that don't worry. You know, they sit there on the lines and they look at you and they say, and look at all those people. Wonder why they are so worried, you know. And they sit there, they have the Heavenly Father, because he doesn't let one of those birds fall to the ground without him knowing it. But they don't have barns. They don't have their heat supplied for the winter. They don't have their bread in the freezer. They don't have their strawberries in the freezer. And I don't know what all else you have in the freezer. But they don't have that, you know. But God supplies every day for them. Every pick that they pick up is every day supplied. And God knows from each one of those little birds what they need and what He's given them. And now, are you better than the birds? Sometimes we have the expression, eh? It's for the birds. Mm-hmm. But are you better than the birds? Yes, you're better than the birds. You're a child of the living God. So what can you expect from God? You can expect from God a complete care. You can't get that anywhere. You know, sometimes they say, well, they'll take care of you there. And maybe a little example of that. I just the other day we went and saw a friend of ours, been a friend for a number of years. He came to know the Lord Jesus years ago when we were preaching there. And here he is. And he's a busy man, always worked hard, woods and everything else. And here he lost his wife. His wife was the Lord Jesus, so that's not the difficulty. But here he is in a room by himself. He's 10 years younger than I am. And I've had to think about that. And yet, God knows. God cares. God loves him. He's a child of the living God. But can we be satisfied? Can we be, I'll use an unscriptural word maybe, but can we be happy? Joyful is a better word. Where we are, in the midst of all that we may encounter. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, that's the whole thing. Now, that is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is having fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We are not quite finished with reading here. So if it's midnight and nobody falls out the window, we're all right. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then we read a couple more verses. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. No, we're not sure about that one. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things with murmuring and disputing. Wonder there's a little word out stands there too, eh? So you suppose that's separate from that? Without murmuring and disputing. Great to know that the Lord Jesus, and how he says that you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. I want to give you this yet. I believe that I'm an evangelist by calling, and at the same time, people sometimes have the idea that an evangelist should be there and telling people how to get saved. Now, I have a different thought. I believe the evangelist, one of the first things he has to do is teach people what it means to be saved. And I think that's one of the things that we miss today. People being taught what it is to be saved. You know, you can tell a whole crowd of people, and I've had the privilege, been in many places, but to tell them how to get saved. Yeah. But it's entirely different, because if you have a few people that know what it is to be saved, that's a far better message than any evangelist can ever give them. If they see, what is it to be a Christian? It's little, like the little fellow says. He says to his father, what is a Christian? And his father started describing what a Christian was. Then he said to him, have I ever seen one? Have I ever seen one? We had a man, he just went to be with the Lord Jesus. And he was, for a time, he was coach in trainer in the soccer game there in the village where he lived. And you know what he did? Now, you want to watch sometimes. A lot of coaches, they will stand there and they call and what to do. He didn't do that. He showed them how to do it. If you read Paul, he says, I showed him how to do it. He went around, showed it was like to be a Christian. See? And this little fellow had a lot to say there when he said, have I ever seen one? You know, people want to see. They want to see what it is to be a Christian. I can go a lot of places and tell people they need to be saved. But somebody wants an example. What's it like to... Does that make any sense to me if they tell me I got to do this, I got to do that, and I got to do that? No. Because then, in a sense, I'm getting under law again. I'm going to have to do things. And now, so are you born again? Then you are. You are. See, it's not what you're going to say that impresses people. People are not impressed with what I say. But I hope that there's a few yet that may impress me with what I am. I don't know whether that's possible, but in any case, that is what I'm looking for, you know. And sure, if you give me the opportunity to preach to a crowd or whatever it was, I told Ed on Sunday night, he was talking about where he's preaching. I said, I had an interesting experience one time. I said, that's when we were still living here, right? And one day I went to fly to the Netherlands to visit my parents. And so while I was in flight, I was witnessing to a man that was sitting alongside of me. He was, we'll talk to you. So, do you know the Lord Jesus? Okay. So we got off the plane, and there was a holdup by the customs. I can't tell you what the reason was. I don't know. Didn't know then, don't know now. But that whole plane load of people was standing there. This man said to me, you got the opportunity now to tell him. I said, man, you're right. He was an unsaved man, as far as I know. But he said to me, here you go, an opportunity to tell them all at the same time. I said, you're right. And there was a block of granite laying there, you know, sort of that decoration. And I jumped on top of it, and I preached the whole works. You know, there's an opportunity. You're not going to have that. You're not going to push to do that, because that doesn't work. But here was the opportunity that was, as far as I was concerned, God-given. And any other time, I might be arrested for doing something like that. Not that I would worry about that, because then I could tell him in jail too. But at the same time, you know, here's an opportunity. So you do that at that time, you know. But that doesn't happen every time. And I've had other times like that, or somewhat like that. But, you know, that's just some time. But the thing is, I'm living every day in the area where we live. We live in the polder. Can tell you more about that later, but we live in a polar. Are people impressed with us, my wife and I, being a Christian, being different? All those people go, or not all, but most of those people go to church, you know. But do you know what the neighbor said to me? The people that come to you for study, they're different. Well, I'm glad he saw that, you know, and we can talk to those people about the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to convert them. I'm not trying to tell them to come to my church or anything like that, because that doesn't work. But we can talk now about the Lord Jesus. The doors are open. They see. They must see there's a difference. Dear Father in heaven, we thank thee so much that thou hast given the Bible. Oh God, we are so rich. We are so rich. And there's so much, Lord, we could indeed easily go on till midnight, and there would be no slackness there in telling what a great God thou art, and what a great Savior we have, and what a great salvation there is, and what it is to live with the Lord Jesus day by day, and with each passing moment that we find our strength there. And Lord, we pray for the dear ones here that we have come to love and pray for, Lord, that they may so each day see the wonders of his grace, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that they may find the direction of the shepherd and know to follow him, that each day may be better than the day before, that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. Pray, Lord, for the families that are represented here. Thou knowest every heartache, every need, every possibility. At the same time, Lord, that thou wilt so undertake that throughout this whole great area, Lord, for it is a great area, it is a wonderful area, Lord, that thou hast in mind to reach many for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that the mighty work of God may be done, Lord, for people all around us here, Lord. Up and down the roads, Lord, we see them go, but we see the real need of a Savior. Oh God, that people may come to know him and see the deliverance there is in him, the freedom there is in him, the joy there is in him, the fellowship there is in him. We thank thee so much, Lord. I want to thank thee for this evening hour and for the privilege of being here. And thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.